The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media. This is Time by the Tent podcast with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird. Coming up on the program today, we're going to go over the pros and cons of wall tents, dome tents, and hammock camping in segment one. In segment two, the seven must-takes when you go camping, as well as Hollis from Body Liberation. I know. The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media. This is Time by the Tent podcast with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird. Coming up on the program today, we're going to discuss the pros and cons of hammock camping, dome tent camping, as well as wall tent camping, and seven must-takes when you go to the campsite. Our guest is co-host Hollis Baird from Body Liberation Hiking Club. We'll talk about what that organization is and how you can be part of it. All coming up right now. Welcome to Time by the Tent podcast. I'm your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my co-host, best friend, and camping partner.
I'm also your wife.
Yeah, and wife.
I'm also your wife.
Yes, and wife, yeah.
Holly Baird.
This program is for you to help your camping adventures, whether public or private land, outdoor, land ownership, and more, hiking, and as all everything in between there. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading the program, downloading it or listening to it, watching it on podcast replay, watching it on YouTube replay. You can find all past podcast and YouTube videos at our website, parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, underneath the camping podcast and camping tabs at the top of the page. We have also a large gardening talk radio show and program there if you're interested in gardening, wherever you may be. If you want to be part of the Time by the Tent podcast, you can do that by sending us an email to twvgshow@gmail.com. That's twvgshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call at any time, 24/7, with your camping, hiking, outdoor, land ownership questions at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Well, Holly, people camp in all sorts of devices, I guess would be the right word there.
Yeah.
From campers to RVs to tents and kind of anything in between. So we're going to tackle and go the wall tent, dome tent, hammock camping genres there. I think that covers quite a large gamut of people who choose to go out either private or public land to enjoy the outdoors.
Yep. Some people even camp in ice fishing shanties.
Yes.
All right. So let's.
That would not be discussed in this segment.
No. I don't think we want to cover that just because we don't really know much about that. But we do know about the pros and cons to things like wall tents, dome tents, and hammocks. And when we say wall tents, we mean the big canvas tents, and then dome tents are the smaller, like, I don't want to call them pop-up tents, but they're kind of pop-up tents.
That's what they are.
Yeah. So, and then obviously most people know what a hammock is. And if you've never heard of hammock camping, you should go look at it because it's neat.
Just go to YouTube and type in hammock camping, and you will have a whole weekend full of videos to browse through. So, a wall tent we have currently, we have an Ozark Trail 10 foot wide by 12 foot long Ozark Trail wall tent. We are looking at the opportunity to purchase a white duck tent that would not be for weekend transportation tent. That would be a permanent structure, semi-permanent, on land in which we would purchase. But we've camped out of the Ozark Trail wall tent. $500, something like that, at Walmart.com when we purchased it last year. And we've camped out of it many times. It is 100 pounds is how heavy the tent is. But that is one of the downsides.
But it has wheels.
It has wheels on the caddy.
On the caddy thing. So there's that.
That's one of the down parts to it, is that it is heavy. It's not something you're going to just wing around. There is a strategic operation of maneuvering it.
It's not a backpacking tent.
No, not at all.
So one of the pros I like about it is that it's spacious. And I like that you can move around. It's like 8 feet tall or something. I don't even know.
At the peak. The walls are 4 foot high and then it peaks up to 8.
Right. And that, so I grew up camping in dome tents. And once you get to a certain point, you're like, I can't even stand up in this thing. The wall tent, you can. And then also,
you have 120 square feet of floor space.
Yes. And also, if you, yeah, there's floor space. But then I like it because if it's raining, you have room in that tent.
Right. You're not crouched in there. And I've spent a few hours in a dome tent during a rainstorm. And it's not pleasant to lay there or set up, you know, and you can't stand up or anything. But yeah, there's been times when we've went camping at public sites and the rain has come. So we've just moved the table, our Coleman portable table and our Cabela's rocking chair and lawn chair inside and created a dining experience inside of the tent because we have that extra space outside. You know, we have the twin
dining experience.
We have the queen size air mattress, and then you have another 5 foot of space in front of that you can really utilize.
Right. So, yeah, so that's the pro is all the space. And then also, I think that it's fairly easy to set up compared to maybe what it looks like. I think that it looks harder to set up than what it is.
Right. It's got half inch tubing. You got to be careful because the tubing will bend, and we have experienced that, had to have connections replaced. But you just match the red with the red and the yellow with the yellow and the white with the white and put the top on and put the canvas on and then put the legs on and you're good to go. Very easy to do. Now, your dome tents, we'll talk about that in a minute, but you slide like basically two tent stakes or two tent rods in it and you're done. This will take the wall tent 25 minutes, two people.
Don't forget the dome tent. You have to put the fly.
Yeah, the rain fly up.
So that takes like 4 more minutes.
Right. Okay. So on the wall tent, on any wall tent, and wall tents, what we're looking at is 4 foot walls with the arch or the A-frame, not the A-frame, the rafter area. There are different types of wall tents that we've seen at campsites that it looks like a little house that they pop up much, much quicker. So there's different, I mean, a wall tent is, you know, a small cabin. There are wall tents that are 5 or 6 foot tall, and they have multiple compartments or multiple rooms in it, and they're 12 or 15 feet long, and they fit very comfortably in more of a dome tent make and model type of situation.
Right.
You don't like the current wall tent because it is too cold in it.
Yeah, so again, I grew up dome tent camping, regular tent camping, whatever. Uh-huh. And even when it was chilly, you had your body heat because it was a smaller space.
Did you have sleeping bags or did you just...
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we just were feral and just slept on the floor.
I didn't know if you like just brought blankets or if you actually had
sleeping... No, we had sleeping bags.
Okay.
I mean, that is kind of a valid question.
Yes.
Yeah. But we had sleeping bags, but still, you still stayed warm.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of that, though, if it is warm out, then it can get hot even if you have the window things open or whatever.
The ventilation,
especially during like the peak hours of the day. The wall tent during the peak hours of the day, even if it's sunny and you have the windows open, there's usually a nice breeze.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the wall tents, most wall tents come with a pre-installed stove jack in which you can utilize either a large stove or a small backpacking stove in it to radiate heat in it.
Right, absolutely. And I haven't experienced that, but I hope to, and I hope that it does feel warm and not too warm.
Well, right. But here's the thing. I think if you survey 100 campers in the winter, would you rather to be a little too cold or too hot? Too hot, I think, is the answer, because you can ventilate the heat out. You can't ventilate the heat in. If it's cold, it's just cold. If it's hot, you can open a window, you can open the door. And like we've watched YouTube channel Jay in the Woods. He's gotten that tent like 90 some odd degrees because of the stove he has in there and had to ventilate the heat out. easy problem to have rather than trying to get the 0 degrees up to comfortable temperature.
Right. So let's talk about
the dome tents.
The dome tents. So the pro is that it is lightweight. It is small enough where you can put
backpack.
Yeah, you can backpack with it, and also you can kind of find a spot if you find like a smaller campsite, or you want to put multiple ones on a campsite. I know some campsites have restrictions, like only 2 tents can be on there, but if you want 2 tents, you can easily put 2 tents.
And that's a limitation that the wall tent, any size wall tent you have, is the space in which the campsite on the state parks or local recreational parks campsites may only have a certain area. And there was a hip camp that I went to that there was no way the 10 by 12 Ozark wall tent was going to fit. And I had the dome tent, the Ozark Trail dome tent. I don't know. It's a 4-person. And it fit in that spot.
I do want to heed caution. If you've never purchased a tent and you go along and maybe you're at a big box store or wherever, or at a small store, and it says this fits for, it says like 4-man tent. That is not, I mean, yes, you can essentially fit 4 people in that tent laying down and not moving around.
Right.
But you want to keep in mind that it's more like divided by 2.
Right. 4 if you're going to be packed in there very, very tightly. 2, it's still going to be a little uncomfortable, but you're going to have space to kind of move your elbows. 5, you're not going to have any space when you have 4 people in there.
No, it would literally just be for like lay down and go to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't get up, go to the bathroom, just hold it. Type of thing. So the space is the limitations of the lightness is very minimal. The space then at the campsite, it gives you a lot of space to the campsite. It's cost effective. You can get an Ozark Trail, which is a Walmart brand for those who are not familiar. I got mine for $40. We got ours, the 4-person tent for $40. Because the 3-person was $30, and I figure, what's another $10 when you get a little more space?
Yeah.
But the wall tent was $599, was it? Or was it $499?
I think it was $499.
$499. And now when we talk about the white duck tent that we are looking at to put on property in which we are purchasing, the one that we are looking at, you're looking at wall tents, and you're looking between $3,000 and $8,000 for a white duck wall tent, which is the top of the line, not the Cadillac of tents, but the most durable, top of the line. They thought of everything, and they're not a sponsor or anything, but when you see repetitively people from all over the world saying this is the best of the best, you have to start believing that is the best of the best based on what they're showing you and how that tent is manufactured. So if you're going to live in one or enjoy your time in one, you would want to have one, and these are like 400-pound tents. So you're not going to take this to a campsite every week and pop it up.
Right. So let's talk about hammocks.
Hammocks. Mm-hmm. Now, hammocks can be as simple as between 2 trees, or you can actually have like a hammock tent where the tent, there's a canopy over top of where you're laying. There's many different configurations and types of hammocks, but the simplest form is you unroll it out of your little pocket and you find 2 trees to tie it to. Simple, lightweight, really nice to use if, and here's a con, if the conditions and the situation that you're in is favorable to that particular means of camping.
Right. So when thinking about that, you might have to think about, okay, am I going to find a campsite or a camping spot that will have 2 trees at the proper length? And obviously, you know, there's different ties you can get to make the length longer, but you still have to find 2 trees that line up with each other that are going to support that hammock. And then I think another, so that the one pro is that it is easy. It's easy to take with you. If you enjoy sleeping in it, it's going to be convenient in a way.
Well, we watch a YouTube channel, Never Lost Outdoors, and he motorcycled to a campsite, and then the trees weren't particularly
strong.
Well, spaced correctly.
Oh, yeah.
By nature. So he had ratchet straps, and he fell out of it once, and it was he made it work, but there is some things in which you're just not going to go to a campsite, throw it up, and go, I'm done, let's enjoy camping.
If that, and so I've always thought about it like this, too. If you have a tent and you have a cot or whatever, and you just want to lay down and relax for a little bit, you can do that. Yes, you can relax in a hammock, but a lot of times people have to bring an additional chair.
Right. And a hammock, based on the time of year, you need a chill pad, a sleeping bag. You may need a tarp over top of it to shed off dew or potential rain or snow or whatever it is. So it is wonderful in this correct time of year for a few days type of thing. You know, it's summer. It's 78 degrees at night. No dew.
It's a lot of exposure.
Yeah.
I feel like even though a tent might not be the most safest thing compared to a house with a locked door, a tent does give you a sense of security in
even
a way.
False in some
yeah
some
even
instance,
false
yeah.
in some senses, but a hammock, you're very exposed,
right? Even with the roof on it, because you're still
yeah, but you're
it, you're in a,
you're you have like
you're in a gazebo
nothing, yeah
know?
You have nothing below
right.
you yeah, so it's something to think about as well.
And they all have their goods and bads here,
right? And with the hammock, you also have to keep in mind, like Joe had mentioned, that one guy fell out of it, and that's another thing. If you are the type of person that maybe when you get up in the morning you're not the most alert, you could fall out of your hammock.
And if there is an emergency or something is invading into the campsite, you need to know if you can get out and up and defend or respond to whatever that situation is without getting all tangled up.
Right. So if you've never hammock camped, I would consider
do it in the backyard first.
Yeah, do it in the backyard or go to a well busy popular site.
Do it with other people who know how to hammock yeah. camp. It's just the same scenario back home. There's a neighboring farm, and the oldest one of the sons is now up in age, but he rode motorcycles all over the country, and whenever he rode with a group of people, he would ride in the back. If there was six or eight, he would be the last one to see how everybody operated their vehicles before he drove and rode in the midst of them.
That makes sense.
So the hammock, you know, see how everybody else does it. You know, ask around on your form. Hang out with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the seven must-takes when you come camping. You're tuned in to Time by the Tent podcast. Goodbye, biting bugs and plant invaders. No More Bugs by Natural Green Products is your answer. A product pioneered by the USDA and 14 years in business, No More Bugs has been the favorite by consumers across the country. More than a repellent, it is safe for you, your pets, your plants, and your home. Visit nomorebugs.net for free shipping on orders over $50. Use coupon code FREESHIP. For me. That's free ship, the number for me.
Grip 6 produces American-made products with sleek designs and quality materials. Based and manufactured in Utah, they have a high quality and durable products to last a lifetime. They're built beyond tough. Their wool socks come from the Rocky Mountains, and even for the most sensitive toes, these socks are made for everyone. High quality wool socks make a huge difference for happy feet. You can wear them around the house daily, to the outdoors, to the garden, etc. And we are glad that we made the switch ourselves, because they are incomparable to any other sock we have worn. Designed and manufactured in-house for the best results and quality every time. When you purchase from Grip 6, you're supporting long life cycle products and American-made manufacturing. Check out their belts, wallets, and socks at grip6.com and coupon code RADIO15 to save 15% off your order at grip6.com. Fleet Farm is your one-stop shop for everything you need for your next big fishing trip. Check out their huge selection of gear like rods, reels, exclusive lures, and more. Shop top brands like Rapala, Berkley, St. Croix, and Clam. Plus, you can even pick up live bait and get your fishing license right there at the store. Before you hit the water, make sure you get a bite with the help from Fleet Farm, your fishing headquarters. Wind River Chimes creates a symphony in any space. Chimes that are inspired by nature and designed to make the natural world even more inspiring. Music speaks to everyone. Individually handcrafted in Virginia for over 35 years and hand-tuned for exceptional precision and lasting beauty. Because in life, the winds of change are always moving. But no matter where they carry you, Wind River Chimes is always inspiring harmony. With a large selection and customization options, you'll find the sound that soothes you. Visit WindRiverChimes.com to find out more.
Welcome back to Time by the Tent. I'm Joy Baird. Beside me is
Holly Baird.
So we're going to talk about in this segment the seven, and this is just purely our opinion. So there's not an article. There's not a university study extension. There's not a DNR.
This is our article.
This is our article. There's not a DNR article that says this is what you need to do. Seven must takes when you are going to camp. And this is from our experience. And we certainly would encourage, invite you to share yours at twvgshow@gmail.com or 1-800-927-SHOW. And let us know if any of what we're missing here. So the first take that you must take, the first thing you must take camping is knowledge, which means where are you going? What's the best, where are you going? What is around the area that you're going? The ability to know what the weather is. If you're RVing, so you know if there's going to be wind or because of the awning you're going to have out. Do you need to stake the tents down? Is it going to be very windy? Because if you don't need to necessarily stake every area down on the tent, that saves some time and some effort. So knowledge, knowing what is going on where you're going. So it's not we're going to get in the car and go. Do a little research so you know the weather, the conditions.
I think another thing that's good to know is things like just in case, maybe where the nearest hospital is.
Yeah.
Nearest shelter, food store, things
gas
like that.
Station.
Gas station. Yeah. Just knowing, like Joey said, the area. I know him and I have camped at places that are newer to us and then places that maybe areas that I've camped before or hiked before. So, and I think it's fun to try new places, too.
Well, and most places on the, state campsites, they have decent cellular service in which you can say in your, in Google, gas station near me, hospital near me. It will take and it'll tell you these things.
But sometimes your service isn't
correct.
The best.
Yeah.
That's good to keep in mind, too. So the next one is to plan for bathrooms. So it can be as simple as, okay, I know that this campsite has bathrooms four sites down from me, whatever. Or maybe you want to bring your own.
Because this is not something that you want. I got to go. Now I got to figure out where it is. And, it's not something. We bring our own. We talked to Dale from Five Bites on YouTube, his YouTube channel. He brings his own in his camp, in his truck camper. So it's good to know where these facilities are, not just for you, but if you have a family, what is the, kids have always got to go to the bathroom. It's an ordeal, the whole thing. Not that you should always get your campsite near the facilities, but know that it's a 2-minute walk. It's a 3-minute walk. If you're not going to bring your own, if you're tent camping or truck camper camping. I mean, RVs have these built into the system there. And it's just something you need to be aware of when you are planning your trip.
Right. So, yeah. You
number three.
Number three is a first aid kit. So you want things like you can purchase first aid kit. You can make your own. I have a first aid kit here. I have one in my car, in Joey's car, in my hiking backpack. I have first aid kits everywhere. Now, are they as complete everywhere? No, but I do have what we need. So you can need maybe bandages, needles, tweezers, eyewash, burn safe kit.
Burn savvy.
Burn salve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make sure that these are up to date. Because Band-Aids are not as sticky as you may think they are when they're 10 years old.
No. And also, just know where the stuff is.
Yeah.
That's what's important, too. And even if you have alcohol wipes in your first aid kit, they do dry up after a while. So something to keep in mind.
And these may be things that you've already thought of, or maybe we're enlightening you on some things in which you, I should probably do that.
I've worked jobs where they had a first aid kit on the wall and it was missing Band-Aids.
The first aid kit was installed in 1963 when the building was put
there. Was like a layer of dust on it. You just hope that whatever you... and the
it's going to be easier just to run to the hospital.
Yeah, the aspirin in it was like from 1972. So, yeah.
Number four, extra batteries or battery pack or power stations if you don't have a power spot or you're not, like, you brought your own RVs that have these Some of them have these built in where they have an onboard generator. But it is good because cell phones take power, lights take power, almost like flashlights and lanterns now. If you're not on kerosene, they are LED, rechargeable. And if you are in a place where cell service is minimal, your phone is going to work harder to keep that signal than if you were in a perfectly right under a tower 5G, where it doesn't have to require the energy to continue to make sure the connection is good.
Right. You want to think about power. And if you're like, well, I'm off grid, blah, 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 I don't want to have power, that's okay too, but it's smart to think about having something.
And these little phone power packs, they're 10,000 milliamps up to, I've seen them up to 30, 40, 50,000 milliamps. That'll charge, you know, the 10,000 milliamp, what I have, charges my phone, I think, 2.5 times. So it's something that, and you can charge your lanterns with your battery, your internal battery lanterns, or whatever you need to power. But
there's also a lot of solar power items like flashlights and lanterns,
right?
And some of them, like our lantern, will charge something off of it, right?
Yeah. But the lantern itself will take 19 hours from dead to fully charge through solar. It'll take like 2 hours if you plug it in. But you have, 5 hours on max, 8 hours on, or 8 hours on minimal or medium, and like 10 hours on light duty, I think, something like that. So, but you can pull power out of that to do such. Number five, pillows. We've gone camping without pillows before. It's not fun. And you can have the pillows that you use in your bedroom, or there are inflatable camp pillows, which I've used. And then there also are more compact pillows in which you can purchase and then fluff out, like these down sleeping bags. They're not down in – they're not duck or goose feathers in the pillows, but you fluff them up, and they can be very soft. So if you need something firm – an air pillow or inflated pillow probably be the better. We've got a review on a couple of pillows. On our website, parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. Just go under the camping tab at the top, and there's the videos. You scroll down, we got several product reviews there.
And I think if you're in a pinch, you can use some clothes.
Right, and that's what some of these people do. Yeah. But I just, if I can bring a pillow is going to be much more enjoyable than rolling up a sweatshirt and using that.
I know for me, I like to sleep a little bit elevated, so I like to bring my one pillow. So
We're going to go with number seven first, and then number six. Number seven, fire extinguisher. Now this is, RVs have these in it. Truck campers, you can add this. Tent camping, people may not think, I should have a fire extinguisher. Well, if you're cooking in the tent with a propane burner, which you may have to if it's pouring down rain, or if things get out of control, you always want to have these things and never need them, then need them and never have them. A fire extinguisher, you can use it it's a multi-use extinguisher. You could, if I was doing it, I wouldn't take the one out of the kitchen. I would have one strategically for everything, so you're not forgetting, I forgot to bring it, or I forgot to put it back in the kitchen.
Right. Just to have it with your camping gear.
And you can have these can be small or very large. I would go with the small one because if the small one's not fixing the problem's already too big to fix.
Right. Just to have something.
Right.
And also just it's important to practice fire safety. Make sure that you are burning within your fire pit.
Or if you're not supposed to burn at all.
Or if you're not supposed to burn at all. Sometimes, especially lately with the wind we've been having where we are, there's been a lot of burn bans, things like that. And then also when you are done with your fire, you want to let it die off, and then you do want to pour water over it, and that's proper fire safety.
Right. Now the final one, which I had these in different order, the miscellaneous, extra plates, food, water, soap, towels, disinfectants, notepad to take with you so you can write down the things you forgot to take this time so you can build your repertoire of here's everything that I need to take camping. Not too much, but these are the necessities that make the weekend enjoyable.
And some people will take these lists and they'll laminate them and they'll attach them to a bag or something.
And they'll check them off.
Yeah, and they'll check them off. whatever. And so whatever works for you. Like, I know just for me, when I go anywhere, I have a list on my phone of standard things that I bring in my notes app. And then that way I don't even have to think about it.
You should print that off, because sometimes maybe that app will never exist. And then what are you going to do?
I'll just write it down.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of in my brain.
Oh, okay.
But it's just there as a reminder.
Well, other things, you know, like butter, aluminum foil, a cooking grate.
Joanne,
if that's
I
what
forgot butter ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have we talked about this?
We talked about it. We can talk about it again.
So we forgot butter in our last camping trip. It was a 2-day or 2-night camping trip, and it was like a hike in sight. So we forgot butter, but luckily I had tossed some avocados or an avocado, mm-hmm. whatever, into my backpack as I was walking out the door. And so we used that. It was different, but
it worked okay.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing. There's many lists online in which you can go, okay, here's what I should take. But no list is going to provide you with the experience of knowing that, hey, I don't need that, or I do need that. I need to write that down to make sure when I get home I put that in the camping section of the room, so that will go with us next week. Or something that may be able to stay in the truck or the car or the RV. And have multiple bottles of hydrogen peroxide, one in the camper, one in the bathroom at the house, one in the first aid kit type of thing.
And there's just so many containers now that you can buy.
Too many.
Anywhere, any place, wherever you go. So it's easy.
Don't put peroxide in one of those. Peroxide's got to be in a dark.
Right, but yeah. I'm just saying that something like cooking oil.
Right, yes.
You can even repurpose a glass container that you have and put the cooking oil in it. It's just, you know, there's a lot of things that you can put. You can purchase miniature things if you mm-hmm. want to, or whatever you want to call them, travel size. So it's not, it's a lot easier than I think it used to be. And like Joey said, I mean, especially for me, I do the cooking, or not the cooking, the shopping for the food for camping. So I think, okay, we're going to have burgers. Okay, we got to get the meat and the buns, but we have the cheese at home. And then it's like, okay, you got to remember the cheese. And that's how it went. That's how we forgot our butter.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're new to camping or you're going to start camping, hopefully this will help you. And you can certainly ask any questions that you have if you're new or you want to contribute to the conversation. When we come back, Holly's going to talk about the group that she's part of, the Body Liberation Hiking Club. You're tuned in to Time by the Tent.
Farm and garden in the ultimate comfort. Farmer's Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves made to protect you against the elements while farming. Farmer's sleeves offer unparalleled protection of arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, or outdoor worker. Say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. Their sleeves offer cooling comfort and protection against elements and outdoors. An alternative to thick clothing, Farmer's Defense is made of wicking material with UBF protection factor of 50+ to protect you from allergens and scratches. You can find all their great products at visitfarmersdefense.com.
Do you own property and you're trying to keep newly planted and established trees healthy and hydrated wherever they may be planted? Well, tree diaper technology can significantly increase the water to your trees. No pipes, no hoses needed. Hydrates from water, from rain, or when you water the trees. Eliminate watering altogether and let it take care of itself. Find all of the information out at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com, and use coupon code GARDEN15 to save 15% off your order at treediaper.com. Hydrate those trees no matter where they're at on your property.
We are brought to you today by sponsor Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from, canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables. What about the meat? Maybe you hunted or trapped that meat. At Walton's, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, or any other product your way to your high standards. You want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatjuststicks.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. They have spices, meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. Oh, you can use code GROW50 to save 10% off orders of $50 or more.
Take those spices to the campsite with you. WaltonsInc.com. Welcome back to Time by the Tent. I'm Joey Baird.
I'm Holly Baird.
And we don't have to go to the hotline today because our guest is in studio. She is my co-host. She is, She goes by Hollist. Hollis Baird is the Milwaukee chapter leader of the Body Liberation Hiking Club and avid outdoor person. And we're going to talk about the club in which you, or your chapter here in the Milwaukee area, and about the Body Liberation Hiking Club across the country.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You are already here, so. Okay, so let's talk. What is the Body Liberation Hiking Club? What is this organization or club, or what is it?
Sure. So the Body Liberation Hiking Club is an outdoor / hiking club. For anybody, it's a space free of diet and weight loss culture for folks of any gender who struggle or have struggled with getting themselves outdoors or permission to enjoy nature and outdoor movement. So we're going to blaze past the gatekeepers of the outdoor, industry.
Stereotypes.
Yeah, stereotypes, or people who have shunned body diversity in outdoors and think it's only for a certain body type or whatever, and we're like, you know what?
Well, what is
the outdoors is for everybody.
What is this body type that people think that only outdoor people should have?
Like maybe thin, fit, something okay. like that. Yeah,
not
yeah.
truck driver type of mindset.
I don't. What's a truck driver?
You know, truck drivers are typically not the healthiest.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is there's a certain – you're saying that there's a certain ideology.
You can't know a person's health by looking
correct.
At them. Yeah.
There's a certain ideology that people assume that these people fit in this category and these people fit in that category, and they can't cross categories.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing, is that we are trying to let those who live in marginalized bodies, whether they be some sort of disability or a larger body size or what have you, that they can empower themselves to get outside and, you know, do their thing.
So how did you get involved in this? How did you become a chapter leader in the Milwaukee area?
I applied for it. So
how did you find out about the organization? Is it an organization or is it a club, or is those words interchangeable when it comes to?
I guess it's an organization.
Okay.
Or in a club.
How did you become knowledgeable
but
that this
there's no password to okay. the club?
How did you become aware that this club existed?
Instagram. Okay. So I found them on social media, and then they were like, "Hey, we're looking for chapter leaders. You just have to apply here." And so I had to fill out quite a few questions on a Google Doc form or website, whatever, and talk about my outdoor experience, why I want to be a chapter leader. Things like that. And then Alexa, she's the founder, reached out to me and was like, "This is, you know, these are the requirements. And are you interested? We're very interested in having you. We really like your outdoors experience, etc."
So how many chapters are there? You talk about you're the one in Milwaukee. And how mm-hmm. many are there? Is it North America? Is it just the United States? What is it?
Sure. So there's 17 chapters, and they are all across the United States. And there's also two in Canada, and then there's one in Mexico City, Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the frequency of hikes if one chooses to partake in the club in their area? First of all, how can they find that club?
Sure.
And then what is the frequency of activity involved in that club?
They can go to bodyliberationoutdoorclub.org, O-R-G, bodyliberationoutdoorclub.org. And you can find the chapters there. You can find the story, the mission, all of that stuff. And then
frequency of the activity in these
sure.
chapters or clubs, or in the chapters, yeah.
So it's a minimum. They suggest for us leaders to have a minimum of one hike a month.
Okay.
Some leaders are having several hikes a month or two hikes a month. I just have one hike a month.
Is this a year-round thing or only during climatical or warm months?
So if you live in a climate that gets snow and freezing weather, you know, it's like spring to fall,
okay.
et cetera, winter hikes are optional. As far as other places, they might do year-round.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for you, you said you try to plan once a month. And where is some of these chapters at? Because they're not – like not every state has a chapter, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. So there's many on the East Coast, and then there's some in the Pacific Northwest. There's – like I said, it varies. There's 17 different chapters. So let me see here. There's the Adirondacks, Asheville. I think that's North Carolina.
Yes.
Berkshires. I believe that's East Coast. Boston, the Capital Region. Central Mass, Central New York, Eastern Pennsylvania, Hudson Valley, Mexico City, Milwaukee, New York City, Pacific Northwest, Toronto, Tucson, Vermont, and Western New York.
Okay. So, and I'm sure they're looking for more chapters to be developed.
Absolutely. So if you are interested, you can go to the Body Liberation Outdoor Club, or you can go on Instagram, or there's even a Facebook group, so you can reach out.
Can anyone start a chapter, or there's certain requirements for one to be a leader of a chapter?
I mean, I think you should probably have some outdoor experience, but there, I don't know if that's required. I know for me, I felt called to do so or compelled to do so because I have so much outdoor experience. And
You're an avid hiker to begin with.
Right. And I know because I want to make this accessible for all people, I know which hikes are not going to be too treacherous or strenuous and will be welcoming for people of all levels.
So you've already led a hike this year so far. What does that do, what does that consist of, and was it successful in your chapter?
Sure. So I think it was successful. You attended it.
Yeah, I did.
Nobody got lost.
Right. It wasn't like a 7 or 8 mile hike. And it can be, when we talk about hiking, yours was approximately a mile.
Yeah.
And is it like, is there a certain, like, we're only going to, this week we're going to do a long hike, next week we'll do a short hike, or is it really just varies?
It can vary. And then some of these areas have maybe more hillier hikes, whatever. And they do, when they post the hikes, they post if they're easy, medium, or hard.
Okay.
They also post, you know, you can find things on different apps like All Trails, and you can find what the hike is going to be like. You can also ask the hike leader, you know, I have this amount of experience. Do you think this is a good hike for me? And the thing is that we don't rush through the hike.
Okay.
We go at a pace that is easy, I would like to say. It's nice and steady and slow, and we will take breaks. Even we were 3/4 of the way through the hike, and I was like, hey, I'm going to stop and drink some water. And that sometimes when you're hiking in a group, maybe you don't think like, oh, it's okay for me to stop and drink some water. So I just, as a hike leader, want to ensure that people are taking care of themselves and taking breaks and not overdoing it.
So these people whom are partaking in the hike are all skill levels. Some of them may have never hiked before. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've never hiked before, you should show up. There was somebody who came to our hike, and she came with her friends, and I was listening to them just walking and could hear their conversation. And she said her only hike she did was extremely strenuous. She was in college, and she didn't know what she signed herself up for, and she was very scared. So she was very grateful that we had this hike that was not over the top, and it was something that she could do realistically.
For those who are going to go on a hike, they find a chapter. What are some things in which you would suggest them take along with them on the hike, or do they need anything?
We always suggest water. And then a lot of times, like if it's a harder hike, I would the chapter leader should say something like bring hiking poles, or some sort of stability thing. I don't know what the word is. Especially if you're going up or down a lot of hills, those are very helpful. And then we do say water and proper shoes.
And these always does the time of hike vary? Evening? Are there night hikes? Are there candle-like hikes? Or what is it? Or is that up to the chapter leader? Or
it's up to the chapter leader. So I know like our state park system will have candlelight hikes, and I would like to plan one around that at some point. But as far as myself, I do mine on Sunday afternoons, because I feel like that's a good part of the day.
With state parks and hiking there, would the participants need to have some type of permit in order to hike on the state park?
Yeah, well, in most states, I just know for Wisconsin, you do need a state park sticker, and you can do a yearly sticker or a daily sticker, and it's $8 for the day or $28 for the year, and it's per vehicle.
Okay. And how did the people that attended yours, how did they find that this hike was going on?
I mean, peer pressure from me. Uh-huh. I'm just kidding. So a couple of my friends came, and then also I put it on Instagram and Facebook and whatever other social media, and then a few extra hiking groups on Facebook. And then from what I understand is they had found these, there's three other people that came, and they had, one of them had found something on TikTok about group hikes, and then they somehow found us through social media.
Started doing a little research and digging into it. Okay.
Yeah.
And weather permitting, or is it kind of like the hike is 2 o'clock, doesn't rain or shine, or is that kind of what goes on in that situation?
It's rain or shine. Obviously say that the weather conditions were where they're like, please stay home.
Yeah.
We would cancel the hike.
And proper shoes. What are we looking at for people who are new to this but want to get out and experience this type of activity?
Yeah, I think that you don't necessarily have to invest in hiking boots ASAP. I would just suggest some sort of athletic shoe that has some sort of traction. And then if you do decide that hiking is something that you want to pursue regularly, I do like hiking boots because they do offer the ankle stability, but most people can hike in shoes.
So for people who are looking for a chapter to be part of or want to start a chapter of their own, how or whom can they get a hold of to make this happen?
Again, it's the bodyliberationoutdoorclub.org. And I would just encourage you, this is meant for all people, and this is something that we want to encourage you to get to the outdoors, enjoy the outdoors, and just connect with nature.
All right. Well, there you have it. And we appreciate you tuning into the program today and listening, downloading, or watching. This has been Time by the Tent podcast. I'm your host, Joy Baird, and
Holly Baird.
Thank you for tuning in.